You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 179. And Jeremy is my guest on the show today with two connected dreams. One quite light, quite a fun episode at a MasterChef competition or audition, and with a task of cooking lamb and the question of just how delicious the lamb can be and who cooks it best. And then a second dream that is related to that, which goes a little deeper into the same subjects, though not with a symbol of lamb, but you'll have to wait until you hear that bit. Before we go ahead with Jeremy, just a reminder, if you're listening to the show for the first time and you want to listen to the other 178 episodes, the last 10 are always on iTunes, so you can listen on iTunes or go to your podcast app and subscribe to get the last 10, or go to janetheresa.com, that's Theresa without an H, and you can listen to the whole 179 and all the ones that we will continue to produce on into the future. Also, at my website, you'll find hundreds of blog articles about dreams and dreaming. You'll find my paperback books, my ebooks. You'll find the various courses that I do, and you'll find the various ways in which you can consult me privately about your own dreams. So there's lots and lots of stuff there at janetheresa.com, or find me on Facebook. But that's enough from me. I know you're going to thoroughly enjoy listening to Jeremy's dreams and listening to Jeremy and I explore them and discuss them and find out how they relate to his waking life and how we can use this inspirational information moving forward. Enjoy. Welcome to The Dream Show, Jeremy.
Hi, Jane Theresa. How are you?
Really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks.
And I'm excited to hear what you've brought to us, because as usual, I have no idea when we say yes to a volunteer guest. Yes, we'd love to have you on the show. And then what are the dreams? What are you going to bring? So what have you got?
So I've got two dreams for you that I'd like to talk with you about. Both of them, one of them happened probably about a month and a half ago. And that's felt like quite a significant dream. And the other one is I think there's depth to it and there's things to discuss, but I felt like just relating the story of the dream feels a little bit, I guess, more lighter and maybe a tad humorous in times.
That sounds good. When did you have that dream?
Probably a few weeks after the first one that I had. So I'm going to tell you the lighter one first, which is more recent than the other.
Okay, I'm all ears. We are all ears.
Okay, all right then. So here is the second dream I had, but the first one I'm going to tell you. It starts. I was dreaming that I was with my father, and he was on a sort of preliminary round of MasterChef. So it wasn't quite like the cameras weren't rolling or anything. It was just bit like an audition type of thing, and there was a group of people all in the same boat competing to be on MasterChef, and the task was to cook some lamb, and my dad cooked this delicious lamb. I thought it was delicious. It was fantastic. And but then looking round at the other contestants, I realised that their lamb looked so much better and nicer to eat. And so what happened next? Then one of the other contestants, like, it became apparent that my dad's was not quite as good as everyone else's. I don't recall seeing any judges or any people judging the food at this stage. And one of the other contestants turned to me and sort of turned his nose up at the lamb my dad had cooked and said, as if to say, psh, what is this dish that you've cooked this lamb in? And I don't think he was referring to the lamb itself, but the actual dish, like the casserole pot that he'd cooked it in, as if to say, how can you possibly expect to cook some nice lamb in this dish? And then I started to clear up the, the table and move things away, and I snuck a taste of some of the other lamb, and it was actually really very, very good. Mm-hmm. And as I was starting to take the plates away, one of the other contestants said, no. He didn't want me to take his plate away. Not that he hadn't finished eating. He had finished eating. There was still lamb left. But he thought that the fact of me removing the plate, taking it away, was going to ruin it. And he obviously wanted to save it for later or whatever. He didn't want this lamb ruined by me taking it away.
Mm.
And it wasn't me taking it away. I was going to put it on this wooden bench, and he thought that the wooden bench might ruin it.
Oh.
And I know, it's strange. And then I believed him. I thought that what he was telling me was true, because until this point he'd proven himself as a very good chef. So, yeah, that was that dream.
Mm. That's very interesting. That's very light. That is great. I love it.
Yeah.
The story of the lamb. Okay, roll with the second one, because you feel that they're related, and then we'll put them all together.
Okay. Well, I think it might be sort of intergenerational. So that one was about my father, and the next one I'm going to tell you is more related to my son.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
So in this dream, I was on a camp. Now, my son's in Cubs, and it was like a cub camp. And but when I was an adolescent, my parents sent me on a camp. It was called a discovery camp, which was a bit like a camp for adolescents who their parents felt they weren't connecting well with them or whatever. So it's a bit like a self-development camp where you learn to love yourself more and relate better with people around you, in
yes.
air quotes, your parents.
Yeah.
So I felt like in this dream I was on this camp with my son, and it was a cub camp, but also a bit like this discovery camp. And they had these different activities along the way, which were all designed to sort of develop you, yourself emotionally, personally, and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there with him, and I was trying to help him to participate in these activities, but he was unable to participate. And it made me feel like quite a failure as a father.
Mm.
And so the next part of the dream, I was at a train station. It's the same dream, but we've sort of moved time and place, as happens in dreams sometimes.
Mm, yes.
I'm at a train station, and I'm there, like, not far away from me, and I can see him. And I'm approaching the ticket barrier to go through to catch the train. And there's a lady there at the ticket barrier, say like a railway employee or somebody like that. And she's indicating to me that I can't go through, and she nods towards this other me. And I think I was dreaming from the perspective of a good me, and the other me was a bad me.
Yes.
She, by her indicating that she acknowledged that bad me over there,
mm.
that I needed to reconcile with him before I was allowed to go through the ticket barrier.
Mm.
And so I went. The bad me, I could see, was very hairy and sweaty and, you know, not... But I needed to reconcile with him. So we embraced, and this is quite an emotional, significant part of the dream. In fact, it woke me from my dream.
Wow.
We embraced, and I felt like during our embrace, our bodies merged together a little bit, not fully, but enough that it felt like some of him was in me and some of me was in him.
Yes.
Remembering that I'm dreaming from the perspective of the good me, and that was the bad me.
Yes.
At that point I woke up. It did feel quite like a strong emotional connection, like a bit of forgiveness, a lot of relief, but still, I guess, maybe not 100% resolved.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is an absolutely wonderful dream. Thank you for sharing that. And, yeah, I can see how the two are related. That's really beautiful. So at the end of that second dream, you woke up, and you've described beautifully there, Jeremy, how you felt some amount of forgiveness and relief, but you said, but not 100% integrated is the word really that we would use there.
Yeah.
As you lay there, what did you have any insight into what you hadn't integrated from the bad side?
I don't know if there was something specific, but I guess if we're relating this somehow to, I mean, I guess it was an acknowledgement that there are parts of me that aren't, I don't know, 100% resolved. You know, I guess yes. It's that, you know, and I think that's probably with everyone.
Yeah.
But yes, I guess it's just, I take it to mean that there are just still things unresolved.
Absolutely. And as you say, that is the same with everyone. And probably in that embrace and integrating some of those aspects of what you see as your bad side or your bad memories or your bad experiences, in doing that, you're probably light years ahead of most people listening. So, you know, it's great that you did that. And I love the way that you described that. We merged a little bit, but not fully.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we go through life, it is that process, isn't it, of beginning to acknowledge the things that we've done or the things that we've felt or the things that we believe about ourselves aren't necessarily true. And I want to come back to that in a minute because it relates to the lamb dream. There's that feeling of, it's always about integrating and accepting ourselves and our past through our own eyes. You know, I have this feeling sometimes, and I will get into the dream interpretation, that I think it's always helpful to look at ourselves and other people in the past as always having done what felt right at the time. You know, even in the worst case scenarios, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about bad, bad people out there. In the worst case scenarios, people are motivated by things that feel right to them at the time, even though they don't feel right to us or they're not morally right to us. You know, I don't think even in the most evil circumstances that people actually set out to do evil for evil reasons. There's always some wonky thinking behind it that is, this is the right thing to do. You know, we act because we think it is the right thing to do at the time. And then as we go through life, it's looking back and then looking back with wisdom and being able to say, oh, I see where I was coming from there, or I see where you were coming from. And maybe it was a good place, maybe it was a bad place, but you were doing your best at the time. So I can acknowledge that. And as you say, I can forgive that. You know, I think on the sort of grand, huge scale, not what you're talking about really, but on the grand huge scale, I think that's what it's about.
Yeah, I think that emotion that I felt at that moment of embrace was a bit like, imagine you just had a fight with somebody and you discuss your issues and you work through it, and then afterwards you sort of have a discussion and you forgive them, and there's a sense of relief and also forgiveness combined. That was the emotion that I had.
Yes,
sure.
That's wonderful. Those camps must have done you some good when you were little.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. I like the feeling. I'm going to actually merge the two dreams, even though there were different dreams at different times, because you've very wisely picked the two together. And you may have picked this too, but it was really interesting in the lamb dream where you wanted to clear the plates up. And you particularly noticed just before that there weren't any judges around. You'd noticed that Dad's lamb wasn't as good as the others. And you said, but there were no judges.
Mm.
And then there was the sense of wanting to clear the plate. But the person said, oh, I've still got some leftover lamb. I've still got some I want to keep and hold on to here. Mm. So there's a sense there, just in the kind of metaphor feeling of there's no judgment. There's just an acknowledgement. Those lambs are better than that lamb.
I hadn't picked up on that one.
No,
thank you.
Okay. So there's no judgment there, no judge that you notice in the dream. And whether in the dream you actually looked around during the dream time and went, oh, there's no judges, or whether in retelling the dream your unconscious mind joins in, which it always does when we retell a dream. When we retell a dream, we're in that space in our minds and ourselves. And so your unconscious mind joins in and goes, there were no judges, because it's trying to say there was no judgment at that stage.
Yes.
So there was that sense. And then moving on to this question of the clearing of the plates, which we'll look at later, is you at the time of that dream and then later at the time of the second dream wanting to clear yourself in some way, clear your issues in some way. And there was a sense of, well, don't clear it yet. We've got something to deal with that. Now, we will go into that more deeply. But what I wanted to zoom in on there was that guy who had the little bit of leftover lamb on his plate and you wanted to move his plate. You said, I believed him because everything he had said to me up till then, I had believed.
Well, I believed him because he'd proven himself as a master chef. You know, the lamb that he cooked was, in fact, really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you put your total belief in everything from him from that point on?
Maybe. Yeah.
You believed that the wooden bench would gobble it up.
Well, I believed that what he was saying about the lamb.
Yes.
I think in the context of being in, let's say, a television show, I don't believe everything that I see on television, but I believe that what he was saying about cooking and lamb, definitely, I felt that I could take as gospel.
Yeah, take as gospel. That's great. So in the second dream, there's that feeling of looking at the bad side of me, looking at the good side of me, or not so much the bad, but what I believe has, what I have labelled as bad side of me, or what other people have labelled as the bad side of me. It isn't necessarily bad. What I have believed, that sense of what I have believed from someone who's an expert in the field, from someone that's a master chef. That if I believe in the master chef in the first dream, the potential master chef had everything he had said had proven to be correct, so I believed him, I put my belief in him. There can be that sense in life, particularly if you move this to the little child scenario. Don't think about your son at the moment, think of yourself as a little child. When we're all little children, the masters are our parents.
Yeah.
And there's this magical few years where everything your parents say, you totally believe.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And as time goes by, even with the best of parents, you go, hang on a minute, that's not quite right. That's not right. And that's the normal process of personal development and growing and becoming independent people. So there's that, you know, you could say that as tiny children, we believe that our parents are the master chefs and we put our belief in them because everything they do seems to be right. Until the day it isn't. It's a sense of belief. So I think even though the second dream was sometime after that, this initial judgment of the bad me, it's just something to take forward and remember that it's not necessarily a bad thing, that bad you was not necessarily bad. It may have been labelled bad in the eyes of the masters when we were little children. Mm-hmm. And we've come to believe that because we believe our masters.
And I think also adding to that, might be that that part of the dream where I was at the train station, the good me and the bad me, was preceded by the camp with my son, and it might be that I could have been perceiving, you know, the bad parts of me from the perspective of a child being sweaty and hairy. You know, that's maybe how I may be perceived by him. Or at least that's how I feel I could be perceived at times.
That your son would see you as hairy and
sweaty.
And sweaty. That's probably
maybe.
Very true. And might your parents have seen you as hairy and sweaty when you were, say, an adolescent? How old were you when they sent you to the discovery camp?
I'm thinking about, I would have been 13, something like that.
So you might just have been beginning to be hairy and sweaty.
Maybe,
So... we'll never know, it's guesswork only, but I totally agree with what you're saying, by the way, Jeremy, but also they may have at some stage said to you, you're going to be a hairy, sweaty adolescent and you're going to have to get yourself sorted out before then, and, you know, so that image may then have gone in there. So as we go on, we're discussing, in a sense, both, as you say, it's the intergenerational thing, we're discussing your experience through your relationship with your father and through your relationship with your son, and looking at that whole paternal thing going down the generations, what we pass on, what we don't pass on, what we learn, what we don't learn. So I agree with you totally. That second dream, or really the first dream that you told secondly, began in the camp, and the beginning of the dream is always sets the theme for what you're dreaming about. And the dream always reflects the day or two before in particular. So this dream was only a couple of weeks ago.
I'd say it was towards the end of March, mid-March. Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
So towards the end of March, that was, and the end of March was the Easter weekend.
Yeah, might have just been before then.
Okay, so
before I, yeah.
If there's anything in your mind that you can sort of reimagine the couple of days around then before this dream, because it will, it, you know, a dream will first of all process your conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 2 days, which would have been in that last week in March somewhere. And then the issues that it picks up on will then go back in time to resonate with whatever you need to resonate with, and will sometimes project forward into the future. So as we go through this and we look at it together, think about what was happening in those couple of days before that dream that might particularly have brought this dream into up for you. So, yeah, go on.
Well, I can comment on that. So I can't specifically remember the days leading up to the dream, but sort of an ongoing issue in my day-to-day of recent is trying to make my son happy. There are times when I sense that he can be sad, and my wife and I both struggle a little bit with this, trying to, you know, obviously what we want for him is for him to be very happy, and it seems like at times he's his own worst enemy in terms of, you know, we try to restrict the amount of time that he spends on his iPads and devices and things like that.
Mm.
And so we have to set limits and boundaries in terms of that. And we try to be fair about it and say, well, okay, if you do this, that and the other thing, you can have this much time on your iPad or your device or extend or whatever. But immediately he'll go and step over those boundaries, so we have to prohibit the amount of time that he has on his devices.
Yes.
As an example, so I feel like, and then he's obviously upset with us, and the snowball effect of him not being happy.
How old is he, Jeremy?
Oh, he's 8. Yeah.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense, and I don't think there'd be a parent listening that wouldn't empathise with you there. Keep going.
and I just wanted to add that he's also the middle child of 3. So
okay. How old's the eldest one?
She's 11.
She's 11, so he can see the kind of freedoms that he perceives that she has.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's the first boy.
Yes.
So he, as far as he's concerned, he has a whole different agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and this obviously, you know, you, to state the obvious, you were a boy once as well. Mm. So you know, bringing up your son more so than your daughter perhaps will bring up and resonate with issues that you had as a child, and he may appear more in your dream because it's bringing up, well, what was happening for me when I was 8 or whatever age that he was. So that's our children do appear in our dreams for other more symbolic reasons, but this can also happen. So you've got that ongoing thing which every parent that ever lived will relate to, that we all want our children to be happy, without realizing that, as you and I both know well, and as your wife knows well, the route to happiness is usually through also knowing sadness and knowing limitation and having challenges to deal with and working it all out. And in a sense, integrating not the bad side and the good side, but integrating the yin and the yang of everything, having balance in everything, having finding the middle path through life. You know, you can't be happy unless you know what sadness is. Etc. So although we want our children to be happy, it's almost like we want you to be happy now, where rather than appreciate that you're going to go through this tumultuous adolescent thing later, which and one day you'll emerge from that and things will begin to make sense through your 20s, your 30s, and as you get older and older, this sense which your dream is driving towards, there's this sense of, if we're lucky, acknowledgement and integration of the things that we or others have labelled as being bad about us, and realising that life is really a balance of everything, and there's the happiness. So anyway, that's the context of your dream. So you're right. So the dream, in a sense, starts with the theme. Okay, Jeremy, what we're dreaming about tonight is to do with issues that you have with your son, you feel you have with your son, that are similar to the reasons why your parents sent you to discovery camp, because that's really the beginning of the dream. And as you said, the parents that sent you to discovery camp because, well, as you said, more than anything, it was about self-development, but more than anything you felt at the time, it was because they wanted you to learn to love yourself more, and in particular, with their agenda, to relate to your parents.
Yeah.
So it's everything about that. And we will never know, but there may be they may have in that sense either explicitly judged you for being bad, or implicitly, you know, you thought, oh, they must have sent me here because they must think I'm really bad. There was some kind of judgment from them or from you about I'm bad, so I've been sent here to become good, to relate to them. So there's that bad side, good side feeling right there. Mm. And then in the dream, I'm just reading the notes I wrote as you were talking. In the dream, you're helping your son to participate, but he was unable to participate and you felt like a failure as a father. Mm. Yeah. So do you know why he was unable to participate in the dream?
I'm thinking back to the dream and, well, it felt to me like there were different groups and we would approach the group to join in, and as we, what happens sometimes with him is he either gets shy or lethargic and, you know, drops his head and like, I don't want to do this type of thing. So he himself wasn't embracing the situation, and if he had, maybe he would have been able to participate. But also, I think he just needed to sort of be a little bit more active and involved, really.
Yes.
I just felt like we were outside the circle and we weren't pushing our way in enough, really, to become a part of the groups. And I don't think I was actually, you know, I think it was I was there as a parent, but I don't think I was supposed to be there to participate in the activities. Mm. But I was just trying to encourage him and get him to go in, but once the circle had opened up and he would have been in there, I would have moved back and let the activity happen on its own. But it never got to that point,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And I loved the way when you were describing that, you said that he wasn't really embracing the situation, and if he had embraced the situation, he would have become involved. Embracing. At the end of the dream, you embrace the bad side.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's that sense of, we already know that when you embrace the bad side at the end of the dream is something to do. It reflects back on this embracing, this sense of, he felt in the dream, and of course we're not talking about your son, we're talking about you, because everyone and everything in a dream is an aspect of you. So whether it's about you reflecting on when you were a child, or whether it's you reflecting on your role as a parent, which is the most likely scenario, or whether it's also relating on you, your inner child and some feelings that you have, there's a sense of standing outside the circle, of wanting to embrace a situation, but feeling outside of it. At the time of the dream, was there any sense where you would say that you have felt that you are sometimes outside of the circle and you would love to be able to get into the circle, but it's like kind of like, oh, how do I do that? How do I embrace this being in the circle?
You said in the dream, but you're talking about in my waking life,
yes,
right?
In waking life.
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to that for sure.
Okay. And might that, is that, has that been an ongoing situation, or was it particularly intense at the time of the dream?
I think there are things happening at the moment that I feel I am. There are fears inside of me that are stopping me or holding me back from jumping into a situation that I know I should do.
Yes.
And in fact, part of us talking today is part of me sort of breaking down some of those barriers, I think.
Great, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for trusting us and jumping into the circle.
Yeah.
And having all these people listen to you. That's absolutely fantastic. You'll be helping lots of people through this. People always resonate.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that's really good. I guess there are so many positives to say about this, and not least of which is, if you find yourself on the outside of a circle, it's usually because you are a very unique person, that you do have something out of the ordinary. That's why you're on the outside of the circle looking in sometimes. And it's that leap with, how do I bring what is really unique and special about me that has made me feel different? That's made me feel different. And in the past, I may have judged that in a negative way, but actually it's because at some stage I have stepped outside the circle because I have felt different. How do I bring this unique quality if I choose, into the circle. So it's actually quite often a very positive thing that we hold ourselves back, as you beautifully described there. You hold yourself back from jumping in, but it goes beyond that. It's you're holding yourself back because you know you've got something unique and special. How is this going to be received? How is this going to be embraced? So, therefore, Jeremy, in the dream, you've got this sense of relating back to when you, relating to your son in a sense of, there's your son thinking, oh, I don't know. But when you were talking about setting limits for him on his devices, you said when you set limits, he gets angry about that, as all kids do.
Yeah.
And then he responds by stepping over boundaries. So there's another, another link to, well, am I on the outside of the circle? Am I the inside? Where are the boundaries? Where do I step over? Where am I prohibited? What are the limits I set? So you've got all those dynamics talking about your son, and as a parent talking about the limits that we set for our children in order eventually to set them free. Yeah?
Great. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So if you can apply that which through the eyes of a wise father, which you are, you can see in relation to your son, if you can then apply that to yourself and say, well, you know, I have in the past set limits in order eventually and set boundaries in order eventually to set myself free and to be happy. And so to be happy is ultimately to take all this wisdom and step into that circle and offer what it is that I have to offer, which is so amazing. So that there's still so much more that I want to say about this dream, and I'm going to say it. But at that point in the dream, you said you felt like a failure as a father. And my reading of the dream is that is part of acknowledging where we feel we've failed, but we haven't necessarily failed, you know. Ah, through this, I've tried really hard, and you have, you know, what you're doing there with the limits and the devices is spot on. I've tried, you're holding your heart for your child's happiness, that's spot on. I've tried all these things, and I feel like a failure. You're not a failure, but I feel like a failure. And it's when we can feel like a failure, or when things do fail in sense of they don't turn out the way that we planned, that's where our greatest learning is often, isn't it?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So there's that sense of in the dream they're feeling like a failure as a father, but probably not. It's more like if you're feeling like a failure as a father, you're probably doing really well. You're just big-hearted enough to love yourself enough to admit that here at this moment, I don't feel like a happy father. I feel like a sad father because my son's not responding in the way that I want him to respond. And then it's the same issue you've got with your child. I want him to be happy, but sometimes he's sad. At that point, you at the train station, and I love this because, first of all, I should ask you, do you have any special association with trains? Like, do you take...
Yes,
yeah? What is it?
Well, I commute regularly on a train, and I actually find it's a bit of a sanctuary for me. You know, it's away from work and it's away from home, and it's a time when I listen to a lot of podcasts, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's a kind of zone out, maybe a little... a time to contemplate things and really assess what's going on inside. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
So for me, like, it's quite a long commute. It's, you know, over an hour. And it is. It's a good space of time just to switch off or you know, delve into the unconscious a little bit, maybe.
Yes, that's lovely. Well, beautifully described. So that's a really personal symbol for you of all of that, the sanctuary, the time to, as you say, delve in to the inside of yourself and to take rest as well, to take time out in ways that you choose. So in the dreams, sometimes in dreams when a train comes up, it can also be a bit of a word play. You know, this is something that you're training on.
Yeah.
So in your dream, it is a sanctuary that you enjoy every day, but the railway employee won't let you through unless you reconcile with the bad you.
Yeah.
So in a sense, that's what you do. In taking your sanctuary every time, you take time out for yourself. As you say, sometimes you listen to podcasts or you delve in deep. And a lot of our delving in deep is about integrating with what we may have wrongly labeled ourselves as the bad side or the failures, you know, which there probably isn't any bad or good at all. It's just different aspects of ourselves that we would prefer not to own up to. So the deep personal work or the personal development or the spiritual work, whatever label you want to put on it, is often about looking at the what we say is the good or the bad and saying, well, how much of this is me? Where's the happy? Where's the sad? How can I be happy if I don't know sad? How can I be a success if I don't know failure? What do I learn from failure? Have I judged myself from standing outside the circle as not being worthy of being in the circle? Or have I in fact been outside the circle because I know that I'm different? I know that I have something immensely valuable to contribute once I get over the fear and step in. What is the good? What is the bad? What is the reconcile? So in the dream, there's this sense of you're not allowed to get on the train unless you reconcile, come straight after this whole dynamic about feeling like a failure as a father, trying to get your son to participate, but he wouldn't, the acknowledgement that this is something similar on waking life that you can resonate with as being outside on the circle, wanting to, and as you said, being ready to, for example, with jumping in with this podcast, being ready to get into the circle and get active and get out there. So the sense of training could be in there too. Well, here's your training. But your unconscious mind in your dream state was totally on the ball. It was, okay, you can't get on to the next stage in life unless you reconcile what you believe to be your good and bad side, unless you forgive yourself for what you have carried as thinking or have judged as being bad. That the only way into this, or the way to get past the fear and get into that circle and bring all the good stuff you've got into it is also to bring the stuff that you have thought of as bad or that your parents labeled as bad. How are you feeling so far?
I don't know. But I definitely think you're on the right track with it.
On the right train track. So
yeah,
are you.
Thank you.
And the rest of that dream is clear. You know, you did it beautifully. You may have in the couple of days before the dream actually done that integration of, as you say, not fully. You didn't fully merge, but you merged enough to give yourself forgiveness, to feel relief. And that may actually have happened in the 2 days leading up to the dream, and the dream may have been processing that and locking it in, you know. Or your unconscious mind may actually have taken that extra step during the dreaming process. The dreaming process processes the last couple of days, and sometimes it's as simple as process, 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 yep, 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 yep. And sometimes it goes process, 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 yep, 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 yep. Oh, insight. Ooh, put those two bits together. Ah, and you wake up feeling a lot better or with a slightly shifted perspective or view because you've actually been able to put that together in the sanctuary of your sleep, a little bit like in the sanctuary of your train. So maybe that's another reason why the train image came up there.
Yeah, great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so you definitely did that, and that's the newest thing. But to go back to the first dream to tie it together, lamb, what's your feeling about lamb and eating lamb and cooking lamb? And what's your associations there?
Okay, I've got a couple of associations, I suppose. My mum's a very good cook. She cooks lamb. My wife also cooks lamb really well. But that sort of shifts into the feminine side of the family, as opposed to so far we've been mostly talking about the men.
Yes.
What else can I say about lamb? I think that's my immediate association, really. And I suppose when we think in relation to my father and the lamb, normally, I wouldn't associate lamb with him. I would associate it more with my mother.
So you're feeling that with your dad in your dream cooking the lamb, it's almost like showing he's female.
It's out of his normal role to be cooking the lamb.
Oh, that's right, and he didn't make a very good job of it, did he?
Well, I thought he did.
He thought he did. Oh, that's right. It was delicious when you tasted it. Keep talking.
He did a very good job. Mm. It was only when I looked around at the other competitors that I realised that it wasn't quite as good as everyone else's. So, I mean, I think that what I might be saying there is that the quality was very high, but the quality of the other competitors was even better.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like we're talking at a very supreme level of competitiveness in terms of cooking, but what that cooking represents, you could have a stab at what you think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, maybe it's how well they succeeded as a parent or how they went as parenting. Mm. But I don't know.
And it's all in your own eyes and your perception, because it's your dream that, and it's your dreaming mind that's doing this processing. So, you know, the fact that you mention that is one possible thing, that your dreaming mind is going through. Well, in my eyes, Dad and Mum were great parents, and it was a delicious upbringing. Looking back, I can see that. But when I look around, I can maybe say, without judgment, because there were no judges, without judgment, I can just see that there were maybe better ways to cook the lamb. And of course, lamb is a baby. It's a baby sheep. So maybe that's better true. Ways to bring up the children, maybe. I don't know. But if you then also look at, well, there was Dad doing something that was out of his normal role, and you perceive it as it's something that the women in your life would normally do, your mum and your wife. If you then say of yourself, when you had that dream, which you said was a month and a half ago, so although our listeners aren't listening to this until the end of June, we're recording this, a month and a half ago would have been, I can't work that out, Jeremy, the middle of February.
No. Don't ask me. Yeah. I'm terrible at that type of thing.
I think it's around the middle of February. Was there a sense where you felt that you might have either done or contemplated doing something that was out of your normal role and that was moving more towards your feminine?
So the question is, was I doing something outside of my normal role, doing something more towards the feminine side?
Yes, or thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't think so. No. Mm. Nothing that's coming to mind anyway.
Okay, yeah. The feminine side being the more creative, nurturing, because they're the cooking lamb for MasterChef.
Well, okay, so being creative, definitely, no, that definitely resonates with me. So to elaborate more on that is, I have this fear of, like, as a professional, I create audio, and mostly for television. And what I would like to do is to spend more time creating audio in the radio realm. Mm. And I have a fear that, whatever it is, I can't quite work out what I'm scared of. But I would like to start making more of this, you know, radio content, and I guess something is stopping me from just jumping in. I know I can do it,
yes,
and I'm going to. And part of this, I think, part of this manifestation is just get on with it, just get out there and start doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
and express that creative side.
Absolutely, that makes a lot of sense. And you have such a beautiful voice for audio. I don't know whether you're thinking about having your own voice in there, but it's a lovely voice.
Oh, thank you.
So look at how much of that relates. You know, the beginning of that dream was MasterChef, which is a television show. Mm. So, and master, you know, and you are, as you said, I'm a professional, which is a master. More of a master than a master chef.
Yeah.
And you're looking at, as you say, look, you are considering, or were considering back then, that may have been the beginning of it, stepping in a creative sense, stepping out of your role, which you perceive as out of so much producing audio for TV and moving more into radio. So it's a sense of being like Dad. It's something that you can do, and you perceive that it will be delicious. It's out of your role, but it's delicious. Yeah. It's totally edible.
Yeah.
In fact, it's more than that. It's delicious. But you look around, in your mind's eye, you look around and say, but there are other people that can do this better than me. Now, that may be true and it may not be true, and that's not really for us.
I think you've nailed it right there.
Okay. What do you want to say about that?
Oh, no, just that everything you're saying is spot on.
Yeah. Okay, Jeremy, so there's lots of ways to look at that. One is that it may be that other people are better than you on audio and radio simply because they've been doing it a long time, and you may acknowledge that. On the other hand, it may be that that's what you're thinking and that's what you're fearing. How can I possibly step into this when there are all these people who are, you know, really, like, what I do is delicious, but these people are so much better? That would be a fear of yours, which you're obviously relating to. The other is, who is the judge? There are no judges in the dream. You know, maybe these people actually aren't, maybe in your mind's eye, they are the master chefs of radio audio, but they haven't seen you yet. How do you actually know? And then if these are your first steps into radio, even though you have massive professional experience in television, as you move into radio and do more radio audio work, no matter whether you're absolutely brilliant now or not, you will improve because that's the nature of life. And you'll improve through your failures, your perceived failures, as well as through your perceived successes. So, you know, the whole dream then, when you go on and you see the other contestants, which you've now sort of identified as maybe the people that you perceive in radio audio as being better than you, are turning up their nose. Well, they probably aren't, but that's your fear of people that are better than you turning up your nose at what you dish up. But the important thing is whether that's their feelings, whether there are people better than you, any of that is totally irrelevant. You know, my feeling, and it's just mine, although I know a lot of people share this feeling, is that when it comes down to competition, and hey, look, that's what your whole dream was about, they were competing or auditioning for MasterChef, which is a competition. When it comes down to competition in anything, your creative abilities, your business, anything, I know a lot of people advocate, well, you should look at what your competitors are doing, and if they're doing this, you should do that, or you should take a step, you know, blah, blah, you should have your eye on the competition. I totally, absolutely do not subscribe to that at all. I feel you get on, you do your own authentic thing. You do what works for you, or you do what doesn't work for you. You do what's in your heart. You do what's in your creative soul. And yeah, you have a look at what other people are doing, but not as competitors. You might look about what other people are doing that are in your field and reach over to them and say, I like what you're doing there. Maybe we can collaborate on this. Or I like what you're doing there. You've given me a really great idea. You know, not seeing them as competitors, seeing them as other people interested and passionate in a similar area. But basically, just getting on and doing your own thing. If you put so much energy into either looking at the competition or fashioning a business because of what the competition are doing, you're not putting that energy into actually, that's all the energy that you could put into developing your own unique approach to jumping into the circle with what you've got to offer, not being in the circle to be the same as everyone else, but jumping into the circle to give the unique differences that you have to offer. You know, that's what I would get from that. And I love in the dream, you start to clear up. It's like, okay, I'm actually clearing this up within myself. You were actually processing this, Jeremy, in your dream. I'm clearing this up. I'm putting it all away. I've kind of got this. I've got that there are people out there that are may or may not be better than me. But, you know, but then there's this one person that doesn't want you to clear away because it would ruin, taking his leftovers would ruin it. So let's, for the final bit, just zoom in on that. You were going to put his plate with his leftovers on a wooden bench.
Yes.
And he thought the wooden bench... How did he think the wooden bench would...
I don't know. That's a very strange thing to say. But as I think I already told you, because he'd achieved so much so far and he was good at what he was doing, I just felt that he knew what he was talking about. And if he said... putting this on the wooden bench is going to ruin it. Well, quite clearly, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Even though it was leftovers that he wasn't actually going to do anything with.
No, well, yeah, that was the other strange thing. It was, each competitor cooked probably a whole leg of lamb, and there was way too much, obviously, for people to eat. Mm. And so, but yeah. I don't know. It was just it was quite strange that he said that in retrospect. But at the time, to me, it felt like he was telling the truth, and there was I couldn't deny that.
Yeah. Okay. So there are several possible readings there, and it's always remembering that a dream doesn't judge. A dream doesn't say, "Oh, this is right," or a dream doesn't offer guidance and say, "Oh, you should do this." Mm. A dream is processing where you're up to, and it's showing you where your mindset is at now. So you can then look in that and go, "That's interesting. If that's my mindset, these are my fears, these are my beliefs, these are my thoughts about myself. Now I can see why I may be fearful of doing this, that, or the other." So it's showing you that. So what this part of the dream is showing you, that there's a part of yourself, and it would probably be a very wise part to say, well, when I meet people who I feel have shown themselves to be experts, then based on what I get from that, I will believe them, and I will look into what they say or what they advise, even though that seems totally weird and strange to me. There's that aspect. But of course, if that then proved not to be the case, you would then go, okay, well, now I don't believe that anymore. But you're open to learning there, I guess, to some extent in the dream. And what else? There's something else. There's something about the leftovers.
Ruined. I tasted it.
Oh,
it
you was, did? Yeah.
Yeah, and it was delicious. Yeah, it was very good.
Right, so there's what I get from that straight away is it's an experiential thing then, and that was at the beginning of the dream when you tasted Dad's too. So it's almost like don't judge just by mentally looking at something. Jump in, get involved, which relates back to jumping in, get involved. Get involved, experience. When you experience, you'll know what's good and what's not good.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Well, we've spent a good hour on the train there because we've probably made a podcast that's going to last about the length of your journey.
That's right. Yeah.
Normally, we finish with some dream alchemy.
Okay.
And then normally, just for people listening in that maybe this is the first one they've listened to, a very brief summary. Dream alchemy is when you take that dream and you say, okay, as I've just described, this dream reveals my mindset at the moment. So if there's something in my life that I want to change slightly, let's look at my mindset and see what changes I can make. And dream alchemy are exercises that you do that reprogram your mindset or rewire the brain or reprogram your unconscious, whichever way you like to look at it, so that you change those beliefs or you heal those emotions or you overcome those fears. But having said that, in that second dream, you basically did it in the dream with that embrace, with the bad side and the good side, the perceived bad side and the good side, the feeling of forgiveness and relief. So, because you're... Do you do music as part of your audio? Like, do you write music?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, in the past I have, but... it's not an ambition of mine at the moment.
No, okay, we won't go there. I was thinking of the means by which you could do your alchemy, but it's not meant to be a challenge, so we won't do that. Mm. I'd like the feeling of you revisualizing that embrace at the end with the bad side, only this time maybe taking more of it on board and not seeing it as the bad side, seeing it as the beautiful outsider and all the wonderful qualities that this hairy, sweaty person has contributed to your life and to building the person that you are, that you can take forward. But as I say that, it doesn't seem quite enough. So, I know what I'd like you to do. I think what I'd really like you to do is to actually, because we've said, particularly with the first dream, this is more experiential. I'd like you to later on when we finish recording to either draw a circle on the floor or lay out a circle on the floor, you know, with a piece of rope or something, and stand outside of it as if you're the outsider wanting to jump in and experience all of this. But to stand there on the outside of the rope with this side of yourself that you partially embraced in the dream, and to hold his hand and to summon up that feeling of the forgiveness and the relief, and hold his hand, and both of you to jump into the circle. So you actually physically jump into the circle, but you're imagining jumping in with him.
Okay,
right,
sounds good.
Yeah, so what that's doing, and as always, and I love your laugh, because alchemy always seems totally stupid, it seems really silly, but the point of it is to actually bring a symbol or a feeling from the dream or from the discussion around the dream and move it a step forward. So you said the thing is to jump into that circle, that's what you want to do. You wanted your son in the second dream. Actually, we should get you hold your son in the other hand, your bad side on one side, your son as he is now on the other hand when you jump in the circle. Because in the second dream, he wouldn't participate.
Okay.
So by imagining jumping into the circle with him and your bad side, you're bringing all those elements of yourself that have been holding back from jumping in, that have been symbolized in the dream in that way, and jumping into the circle. And as you jump in, think, face the fear, yeah, but also think, this is really good. This is me contributing my unique and wonderful qualities to the world. Watch out, world, here I come.
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Jane Teresa. That's fantastic.
Thank you, Jeremy, for being a wonderful guest on The Dream Show and helping, being so totally open with your dream and your responses, and also helping all our listeners to understand more about their dreams. And I think every guest does inspire our listeners. In your case, you've inspired people to jump into circles as well. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been quite an experience. Thank you.
I'm sure that you enjoyed that as much as I did. Jeremy was a wonderful guest, as all our guests are, and it's always such a delight to have someone on the show, whether it's a live guest, such as Jeremy. Well, it's not really live. What actually happens is that you put your hand up to be a guest on the show, and we phone you or Skype you, and then we record the whole conversation. So I have no idea what the dream is until we press record, and then we go from here. And that's the process you've just heard. And the other way to be a guest on the show, which you'll know if you've listened back over the last few episodes, is you can be a guest on the show by email. So you contact me, you go to janeteresa.com, you look on the main menu, you look under podcasts, and you'll find your way from there how to contact me as a guest on the show. And you can be an email guest. So you email your address, your dream in, and we discuss it by email, and then I create the dream show talking about your dream. So we love having guests on the show, whether it's by email or live. And thank you to Jeremy for inspiring us all by sharing his dream. Once again, you can find out all sorts of other stuff at janeteresa.com, as well as listen to all the other podcasts there. And if you do enjoy the dream show, just a little reminder, everyone dreams. Not everyone talks about their dreams. Everyone's fascinated about their dreams. So please do share the links, share the dream show, let people know that it's around and it's listened to in over 26 countries. But we know there are always more and more people that can be, that can enjoy learning about how to approach their dreams and draw inspiration from that for their lives. Enjoy the next 4 weeks. The next episode, episode 180, is due out on the 22nd of July, 2016, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month, and thank you for listening. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.